So how are you at eating the right things? Yeah, I know you. How are you at eating the right things? Biscuits, yeah. I like biscuits as well. All I want to know is, why does all the things that are bad for you taste so good, and all the things that are good for you don't taste quite as nice? A few years ago, we were told we had to eat, was it 5 fruit and veg a day? And then more recently, it's gone up to something like 7 or 8. How about having 9 pieces of fruit in your life every single day? That sound good? I'm going to help you this morning because we're still following our series about the fruits, and it just so happens that today's little delicacy is grapes. So if a couple of people can come, Brandon and Ben, you look like eager people. Come and dispute these wonderful delicacies. You might have to open them first. So grapes. So any clue about what the theme for today might be? Yeah, I thought you'd say wine. That's wishful thinking. It's not wine. Okay, this is a tenuous link, I can tell you that. Okay, the theme for today is gentleness. Because you have to be gentle when you're pulling the grapes out. That was the best I could come up with. So I apologize. But anyway, so we've got some grapes that you can pass around to help you to remember every time you eat grapes that it's about gentleness. But it did get me thinking, well, it's probably not one of the words we use so much these days. So it just so happens that I had a blue pizza moment, grabbed this flip chart, and I'm going to give you the opportunity of volunteering to write on the flip chart. So one person is going to volunteer to write on the flip chart all the ideas that everybody else has. Neil, fantastic. So what I'd like the rest of us to do is to think about what the word gentleness might mean. And you can call him out and Neil will keep up with you because he's a fantastic writer. So here we go. What's the first thing that you might think of about gentleness?
Delicate.
Delicate. Excellent. Say again?
Careful.
Anything else?
Peace loving.
Calm. Is that what somebody said then? Yeah, calm.
Considerate.
Polite. If there's enough, if you just kind of move them around or take a chunk, that'll be fine.
Compassion.
Shout it out, Jim. It's gone. And it's humble. Okay, that's... Any more? Last one. Go on, Jim.
Self-control.
Okay, we might be looking at that next week, so hold on to that one. So that's quite good. Gentleness. We're going to read from the Bible, Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read from verses 1 to 14. So Colossians 3, 1 to 14. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, there are some just by Paul Denham at the back there, and I think there might be some over this side as well by the other Paul, strangely enough. So Colossians 3, 1 to 14. You have been raised to life with Christ. Now set your heart on what is in heaven, where Christ rules at God's right side. Think about what is up there, not about what is here on earth. You died, which means that your life is hidden with Christ, who sits beside God. Christ gives meaning to your life, and when he appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Don't be controlled by your body. Kill every desire for the wrong kind of sex. Don't be immoral or indecent or have evil thoughts. Don't be greedy, which is the same as worshipping idols. God is angry with people who disobey him by doing these things. And this is exactly what you did when you lived among people who behaved in this way. But now you must stop doing such things. You must quit being angry, hateful, and evil. You must no longer say insulting or cruel things about others. And stop lying to each other. You have given up your old way of life with its habits. Each of you is a new person. You are becoming more and more like your Creator. And you will understand him better. It doesn't matter if you are Greek or Jew, if you are circumcised or not. You may even be a barbarian or a Scythian, and you may be a slave or a free person. Yet Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. God loves you and has chosen you as his special people. So be gentle, kind, humble, meek, and patient. Put up with each other and forgive anyone who does you wrong, just as Christ has forgiven you. Love is more important than anything else. It is what ties everything completely together. So gentleness. I've got some ideas of what it might mean. Kind, careful, cheerful. If you're gentle, if you imagine seeing a dog that's been ill-treated and it's a stray and it's really scared, it might be that by being gentle, by being calm with that animal, that you can convince it that you are going to look after it and make sure that it is safe. The noun gentleness is perfect for describing the way that somebody acts when they're soft and calm with other people. So, for example, if you worked in a play school, if you were a teacher in a play school, you might speak to your students with gentleness. Or if your dentist is gentle, it might encourage you to go and visit him more often or her more often. So gentleness, does gentleness mean that we are a walkover or that we have no backbone? See, one of the things that's happened within church, within the way that we understand the Bible sometimes, is that we associate gentleness with meekness. And maybe we need to understand what those words mean. We have a wrong perception of what meekness might mean or what gentleness might mean. So, the fruit of the Spirit. So how do we apply the fruits in our lives? How do we get all of those nine things or seven things or five things, depending on which part of it you want to take? How do we get them into our lives? It's not a trick question.
By study.
By study, okay? It might be a more simple way might be that we go to Sainsbury's, we look at the beautiful fruit, and we think, well, I'll have that one, and that one. And then we take it home and we eat it. Or we take it home and we put it in the fruit bowl, and it stays there for a few weeks and gradually deteriorates. In our house, I am known as a lazy fruit eater. Because if Mandy is good enough to peel it and slice it up and take the pips out and then present it before me, I might eat it. But if it's in the fruit bowl, it probably is going to stay there. But the fruit that is mentioned in Galatians, you see, we've got this idea that we can kind of pick and choose the fruit. So Paul talks about the gifts, okay? And he says the gifts of the Spirit are given to different people in different ways. So to some people, it might be the gift of prophecy. To somebody else, it might be the gift of tongues. To somebody else, it might be a gift of healing. To somebody else, it might be a gift of giving. To another person, gift of hospitality. And we get that, and there might be some of those things that we think, oh, well, I'd really like that gift. But when Paul writes about the fruit, it's not a pick and mix. It's not a case of saying, well, actually, I'd like an apple, but I don't really want a banana. When we see those fruits in Galatians, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on, it's not a case of saying, do you know what? I want some of those, but not all of them. The way Paul writes it is that actually the instruction to us as followers of Jesus is that they should be in our lives every single day. So here's a question. Neil, can I ask you to assist once more? I wonder if we thought about the idea of being Christ-like, what characteristics would we say that somebody who is Christ-like might have? Loving, okay, thank you, that's a good one. Anything else? Happy. Caring, yeah. Any more?
Just,
yeah. Glim. Yeah, you're reading my notes. Anything else? Patient.
Gracious.
It doesn't matter. I can't spell it either. That'll do.
Thankful.
What was that, sorry?
Thankful.
Self-control, again.
Found in
Christ. Say again.
In the majority of you, found in
Christ. A friend of Christ. Fantastic. Okay, that's great. Thank you, Neil. So, let's Colossians 3, 12 to 13 says this. God loves you and has chosen you. Okay, we like that idea, don't we? Yeah, God's chosen us, made us his own special people. But how about this bit? So be gentle, kind, humble, meek, and patient. Put up with each other and forgive anyone who does any wrong against you, just as Christ has forgiven you. Do we do that? We can try. We might say, if only I was more Christ-like. If only I was able to be the person that God wants me to be. Or we might say, well, actually, I'm a Christian, so I don't need anything else. I believe that we do need to make progress in our Christian lives. I'm not saying that we should suddenly have all these fruit of the Spirit in our lives, that suddenly we change from being one person to being completely different. But I do believe that we should see evidence of those things growing in our lives. It's not rocket science, is it, to think that by being a follower of Jesus, we should be like Jesus. If you, so for example, I was talking to Brandon earlier on. Brandon follows Swansea Football Club. And I know that if he was talking about any other football club, apart from maybe one or two others, he wouldn't say quite as nice things about those other football clubs, because he's a follower of Swansea Football Club. So if you're a follower of Jesus, how much should that mean to us? Should it be that actually we talk in a different way, we act in a different way? It makes a difference in our lives. Let me give you some examples. We know the disciples had some fairly major failures in their lives. But actually, they did quite well in their following of Jesus. Stephen imitates his Lord in forgiving those who are murdering him as the stones are being thrown at him. He cries out, "Lord, forgive them." The early followers, we read in Acts and in other places, cared for people, healed the sick, suffered for preaching the gospel, cared for the outcast. In fact, in the New Testament, we are told that they were called Christ types or Christ followers, because they imitated the one that they were following. So I wonder about us. I wonder if we actually sat down and thought about it. Are we Christ-like? Are we really Christ followers? Or are we just people who pay lip service to that idea, to that thought that we might be good people, shall we say? Who's heard of John Stott? Excellent. So, John Stott was part of an organization which is called the Langham Partnership. Does that make sense to anybody? Yeah? No? Thank you, Ray. Okay, and they did a survey. They kind of wanted to see what evangelical Christians thought about Christ-likeness. So what characteristics a Christ-like person has? And something like, is it 52? Yes, 52% of those people who were interviewed said that they should be like Jesus in his relationships with others. Selfless, giving time, affirming, trustworthy, and caring. So we kind of get it, don't we? As evangelicals, we know that there should be something there. However, less than a quarter of the same people thought that it had got anything to do with the Holy Spirit being at work in their lives. So, I guess the question is, do we really want to be Christ-like anyway? Because maybe there might be implications to our lives. So in the same survey, 54% of the people were concerned that by becoming more Christ-like, they would be alienated from their friends and family and the culture around them. So more concerned about not relating to other people than about being Christ-like. So again, if we can perhaps find the slide that says the gospel message is undermined when... There we go. So this is a quote. The gospel message is undermined when Christians do not behave like the Jesus they proclaim. So John Stott said that to the people that he was trying to relate to. Just read that and think about that. What does that mean to us? When we're at work, when we're with our family who perhaps don't follow Jesus, when we're with other people, do we undermine the gospel by the way that we behave, by the way that we react to other people? See, John Stott practiced what he preached. He was probably one of the most influential people of the 20th century, as far as Christians are concerned. But one of the main things I think that he did that influenced both his life and therefore the lives of people that he met was he started each day with a Trinitarian prayer, which apparently he had learnt off by heart. And I'm going to read it to you. It says this. So every morning, this is how he started his day. Good morning, Heavenly Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I worship you as the creator and sustainer of the universe. Lord Jesus, I worship you, Savior and Lord of the world. Holy Spirit, I worship you, sanctifier of the people of God. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I pray that I may live this day in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How blessed and glorious Trinity, three persons in one God. Have mercy upon me. Amen. Imagine praying like that every single day. Imagine the impact that it would have on your life. I think God must have really listened to that prayer, that he would have been delighted with that prayer. But how about you? How about me? The fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness in our lives. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says that the Holy Spirit works in us to be more like Christ. So hence what I've been saying this morning about being Christ-like. And as part of the fruit, as part of the results of Christ working in us, the result of that work, gentleness, not weakness, not somebody trying to make us fit into a role that is not what God intended, but gentle, kind, mild, manly or womanly, of God. That actually we take hold of that fact that we are called to be sons and daughters, that we are called to be Christ-like, that people will call us Christians, not just because we go to church, but because that's the way that we act in our day-to-day lives. It's not something that we can do of ourselves. It's something that we need to allow God to do in us by His Holy Spirit. We have a powerful weapon. Do you know that? It's the things that we do and the things that we say. We can speak words that influence other people, and that can be a positive thing. But sadly, more often than not, it's a negative thing. It's criticism. It's gossip. It's being unkind. And yet we are called to forgive. God loves you and has chosen you as His own special people. So be gentle, kind, humble, meek, and patient. Put up with each other and forgive anyone who does you wrong, just as Christ has forgiven you. That's a hard one, isn't it? And yet that's what we are called to. If we are followers of Jesus, Christ-like people, we are called to bear with each other, to love each other, to forgive each other. Let's pray. Maybe just in the quiet, you want to take the opportunity to forgive somebody who's hurt you. Maybe as we've been speaking, the Holy Spirit has reminded you, prompted you of that hurt, of that niggle. It might be recent, it might be from a while ago, it might be from years ago. But you know, you need to forgive. You know that if you want to see the fruit of the Spirit in your life, the thing that is holding you back is that you need to forgive. So I encourage you, as we have a few moments' silence, that you do that, that you maybe speak that out in your heart, in your mind, that you forgive. Father, we thank you that you have forgiven us. We thank you that forgiveness is freely available to all of us who ask of you. Help us, Lord, to forgive those who have hurt us. Help us, Lord, to receive your forgiveness and to pass that on to our brothers and sisters, and to those that may not follow you, but have also hurt us, that we might see your fruit in our lives day by day. Amen.